Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, the heat hasn't got me yet. I mean, you know, I keep wondering if it's going to. They keep saying if you're out very long, you know, you're going to have a heat stroke or something. So that's my excuse for not going outside.
Okay,
I might get a heat stroke.
I'll use that probably in December, in January. I don't care. I'll use that all year long.
You think it'll work at any time?
Yeah, why not? Especially here, you know, it gets, you know, we can make it fly. It's all relative, you know, if it's too hot.
You know, August is supposed to be the hottest month, isn't it?
I think August and September. September is really a big month for us for heat.
And well, we're coming up on it. Remember that.
I know.
August is just around the corner.
I know. And here we are.
And school is just around the corner.
Yes.
School starts the 11th.
I know it. We're what, 10 days away? So today, what? Today's August
1st. Early this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It seems like we were just getting ready for summer vacation and, you know, school was getting out. And, oh, we're going to have a big summer and all these things are going to happen. And we were just having the conversation. It seems not that long ago about, you know, summer camp and all these things. And now here we are. It's back to school time already. So it's.
Well, and you know what, this year, and I don't remember this happening last year. I had to furnish utility bills last year. I remember that. And it had to be the bill that had your address on it. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And this year, you had to prove that you own property here. And I had to find the tax statement and send it to the school. Now, I don't remember that ever happening in my life.
No. I don't even know what, well, I'm trying to figure out what that would be for, but it just seems like it's just gotten tighter and tighter and tighter, and the rules are more restrictive than ever. They need more stuff.
They're so afraid somebody's going to go to school out here that doesn't belong.
Yeah.
That they really live somewhere else, and it's a nice school, so they want their kids in it. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then sometimes I suppose you got the people that will, they'll live outside the district, and then they'll lie and use somebody else's address and just to get them into that school. I've seen that
before. That's what I think. But they say everything has to be in your name. When they try that with the utilities, it won't work anymore, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. I think they put protective things on there so that you have to prove that 9 ways to Sunday before you can even get.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
And then I send them over the payment to show it paid it. They said, that won't do. It has to show your address on it.
Oh.
Yeah. So I had to send a different document over to show that I'm the one that pays the utilities here.
Wow. Man, yeah. It's gotten tight.
It must be, because I don't remember ever having to send the tax bill over and the utility bill over.
I know it. It's just they need more and more proof and more documents and more stuff to. I don't know. I guess they're trying to fight fraud or, you know, people in who aren't supposed to be in and things like that. But it just seems like it's getting a little bit out there, maybe a little bit too much. Are we going too far?
Yeah, well, that was a little much for me today, because I said, I've already sent the utility bill over. They said, oh, no, it doesn't show your address. It just shows a receipt.
Well, I mean, is it? It just, it seems like one would naturally lead to the other, wouldn't it? I mean,
that's what I thought. If you had a bill, that means you owe it in Argyle, Texas. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think. I mean, it's to send kids to school, it's almost turning into the, it's like signing a mortgage.
I think it is almost that bad. I was going to ask them if they need a copy of the mortgage.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe a blood sample, a blood type, you know?
That's right. Wow, I know, it was strange to me.
Yeah, it just seems like that's
that
a bit
I had
much.
To have two pieces, and then I had to show the utility bill, and then that wasn't good enough, and we had to show the address on that.
Yeah, every year gets a little worse.
And that wasn't good enough. Then we had to go get the other. I don't understand. The utility bill, I always said, you know, it shows I'm Faye Bagby. That wasn't good enough.
Wow. I hate to see what it's going to be like in, you know, next year or in 5 years from now. What are they going to require then?
There's no telling 5 years from now.
Yeah.
I'm telling what we would have to provide to go to school. And like you say, there may be a lot of fraud out here, and people are coming into the district that don't live here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
and
like
they're probably good at what they do.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. You know, it's just like, you know, kids will give like, aunt or uncle as their address, and they don't actually live there, just to get them registered and get them into the school, especially if things are that good. You know, so maybe they're trying to prevent some of that or something. Who knows?
There may be a lot of that going on that we just don't hear about it.
Yeah. I would imagine they probably don't broadcast things like that so that they don't give people ideas or, you know, give people the wrong impression or think that things are not buttoned up properly. So they probably don't, you know, tell anybody, just so that people don't get in that fear mode. Who knows?
Well, and you know, these e-bikes that these kids are riding are so dangerous.
Oh,
I can't believe that a mother and a father would let them do it.
I know. Have you seen? I mean, and they go fast, too. I mean, they are.
They're 36 miles an hour.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's.
I'm afraid the kid's going to get killed out here. A lady wrote on next door the other day. It's this little boy was weaving in and out, and he was on a major street.
Oh, no.
Doing this. And they were saying, where in the heck is the parent?
Wow.
They said, and the lady said, she almost hit him.
That is.
And they would have charged her with everything.
Oh, yeah.
She'd hit that little boy.
Boy, that is so dangerous. I just can't. I can't believe that, you know. I mean, it's all those e-bikes. They're almost. They're like a motorized vehicle, except without any kind of a safety, anything with them.
And well, people, you know what I think it is? I think it's indulgent parents that are city-fied. They're city people. They're not, you know, small town people that would know better. They're from the city.
There's some of them city folk with all the fancy the fancy bikes.
That's right. Yeah, and they're paying a fortune for those bikes and then letting their kids loose, just go wherever you want to go.
Those things are thousands of dollars. It's not
Is
cheap.
Is that right?
Yes.
I did not know how much they were.
Yeah, the last time, it's been a little bit since I looked, and it might have been the brand or something, but I think they were like $3,000 or $4,000 from what I saw.
Oh, maybe, my gosh, you're not going to let a little kid have those?
Yes, yes, I've seen them.
Wow.
Now, maybe I was looking at different kinds that you know, some other ones have, but I was just looking around just because I'd seen some and I was kind of curious, and that's what I'd found. Yeah, they're thousands of dollars. They're expensive.
My gosh. How can they justify giving that to a little kid?
I don't know. I have no idea.
People are just not smart.
Yeah.
They just don't use their heads.
They don't. Well, you know, anytime there's something new and shiny, it's like, ooh, this looks like fun. Let's go do this. And so they go crazy.
Yeah, and then if the kid is hurt real bad, you know, it's going to be thousands and thousands in doctor bills.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, you're out there. It's not like you're wearing, like, well, most people aren't wearing pads and helmets and, you know, things like that. It's just they're going 35 miles an hour on those things. And if something happens, you're eating pavement, essentially. Yeah. So, yeah, it's dangerous. It can be. But
you know, this week, one of these ran into a car. And everybody ended up in the hospital.
They ran into the car didn't run into them. They ran into the car?
I think they hit the side of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So everybody was hurt real bad.
Oh, my word. At that speed on one of those e-bikes? Boy, that would be not a good situation.
And, And they don't wear helmets for those things.
No,
I've
most of
not
them
seen
don't.
one helmet.
No helmets, no pads, no nothing. So you hit something. It's I mean, I know we talk all the time about, well, not us, but people talk all the time about how, you know, if you ride a motorcycle, it can be dangerous. But, you know, most people at least have a jacket on or a helmet or something. But on an e-bike, you don't. And most of the e-bike riders, a lot of them are younger, and they don't necessarily think it
They
through or know
seem to
better.
be very young, like 12 years old.
Yeah, that's too much.
They look pretty little.
Yeah, it's a lot of motorized power for a little kid. I don't know if that they can handle it. Maybe they can.
I don't think they can, frankly,
Yeah.
because they don't understand the dangers.
No, they don't understand the danger at all until something happens, and then by then it's, you know, then you've already got hospital bills, and hopefully you'll survive and you'll make it, and everything's fine. But 35 miles an hour is pretty fast. That is awfully fast for, you know, for no
For a
protection
little
or
kid,
anything.
I think it is.
Yeah. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So, what are some big exciting news events and highlights from this past week?
Well, one thing is we had another maturity. It was Carol Teal, and it was 6 months. It came in 6 months. We had two LEs on it, a 36-month and a 24-month. And it was a breast cancer case, which, you know, we've done an awful lot of those. And she's already over and out. I was really
Wow.
shocked that it was 6 months.
My word, 36-month policy, and it came in 6 months?
Yes, and I think we had 12
Jeez.
people in it.
Wow, that's early.
It was really early. You know, we've had a lot of early ones lately. We still
Yeah.
have the Denton one, but we've had a lot of early ones. Oh my gosh.
You have to laugh at this point,
That's
or
all we can do.
you'll cry.
And pay premiums, you know. I think he should pay us premiums because he had that gum valve deal.
I know
You know, I mean, he should be paying us for his extra months on earth. I mean, you know.
he's on borrowed time and should start paying for it, by golly.
I think he is on borrowed time. And it should have been a lot shorter than this.
Yeah.
But they just had to do that valve. They wouldn't do a valve for you and me if we were 76.
No, not a chance. And he
Much
was
less
what?
if you're 92.
Yeah.
Yeah, 92 years old. Oh, well, let's do a valve on this guy. I think it's only if you're rich enough do you get that.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, you can buy anything if you got enough money, apparently, even a valve.
Apparently, a valve.
Wow.
Instead of a Christmas gift, he gave himself a valve. And everybody I ask about it, they say, well, my father or my uncle, whoever it was, we couldn't get one for him because they said they were too old.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking like almost 20 years. Lower than
Yeah.
that is the cutoff, I think, like 70, what, 70, 75, something like that.
76, yeah.
He's 92.
We don't even do anything over 76, and we've got him at 93.
Wow.
It was just an accident. I mean, we should have had something in the contract that you're not ever getting a valve, man. No valves at all. But we didn't have anything like that.
I mean, what are the odds? I mean, that's it's it'd be a million to one that anybody would even think about replacing a valve on a 92-year-old guy. And they did. I
That's
don't,
right.
yeah,
And
it's
I would never have believed it.
no.
And you remember 2 years ago, I sent Flint down there to talk to him.
I know it. I
And he was
remember.
in bad shape.
Yeah.
He
And
didn't
he's.
act like some guy that's fixing to go get a valve job.
Yeah, you would think he wouldn't have. There's probably not much odds if you were going to bet ahead of time, not much odds that he would come out of that okay. And he did.
That's right. I would have thought he might have passed away right then, but that didn't happen either.
Yeah. And there's so much about that particular policy. It's just it defies all logic on so many different levels. It's crazy.
I don't That's even... right. And he didn't talk to us now. He didn't even want to talk. Can you imagine? His wife's 89 now.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
It might be almost time to send Flint back down for another checkup. It might be.
But he said he wasn't going to talk to us anymore. Yeah. And, of course, he has a companion, so to speak, there to take care of him. So, you know, he's got it made. He doesn't have to get out of bed. Doesn't have to do anything. Just lay there with his new valves.
See, now I don't even know. I wouldn't even want to do that if I was him. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
That's right. You thought he would have already went to heaven by now.
Oh, 3 or 4 times by now.
Yeah. I mean, he would have had a lot more fun than he would here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just laying there with his valve, doing nothing.
Yeah, laying there with that new valve. And it enables him to breathe and to talk.
Wow.
But that's it.
I don't know that I'd want to do that. I seriously, if that was like the prognosis, is like, okay, if we put in this valve and you survive, if this is going to be your life, you just lay there and enjoy the valve and eat and watch TV. I don't know that I could do that.
That's right. Talk to your wife occasionally.
Just let me go.
I think you're right.
Yeah. But you don't do that anymore.
And they said it would only last 3 years.
Oh, geez. And here we are. What? How many years later? 2, 3? How many
I don't
years
know.
Ago
I know
that?
It's been 2.
Yeah, Flint went down the last
time,
too.
It might be going on the 3rd year. I can't remember.
Yeah, so it's almost like now he's even outlasted even that prognosis. So
that's right.
He's almost like the, what is it, the Energizer Bunny that just keeps going and going and
that's
going.
Right. That's one I think about all the time.
Wow. Oh, yeah, that was, it's terrible. So, but those aren't the policies
we're
that
working.
You
No, we're working on other policies now. We've got one that's got other things, but he's also got pancreatic cancer.
Ooh.
It's turned into that. He's got prostate cancer. He's got about 3 things.
Oh,
and
really?
I think it's going to be a good policy. They're giving him 19 months. What it started out, you know, it looked like he was going to be okay because it's been several years. But then it came back and he started getting all the nodules. He started getting in his lymph nodes. Then it went down to his pancreas and all these other places. So he's got lung cancer. He's got pancreatic cancer and 3 or 4 kinds. And it appears it's everywhere.
Oh, my word. Why?
And so they gave him 19 months.
Wow.
And the premiums are low, you know.
You're bidding on this one, or is it in
We
bidding?
Are.
Okay.
Yes, we bid on this week.
Wow.
And we haven't filled it yet because we don't know if we're going to get it. But we might, and it's got good profit.
Boy.
And I think the profit for is $170,000 for the client.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Man.
So it looks pretty good at this point. Hopefully everything will work out and we'll get it and fill it real quick.
Yeah. If you do, boy, I would almost bet the horse and farm that would be one of those that fills really, really quickly.
Yeah. Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
And we'll be having others in the middle of the month.
Yeah. So,
you know.
Yeah, it's almost like when one of those policies comes along, it's like one of those that gets your attention. It's like, hey, this is one of those that stands a good chance of coming in early. So even though it's, 19 months, there's a pretty good chance that it'll probably come in early. I'm just guessing.
I hope so. I mean, it looks like it might, and because it's in so many locations.
Yeah, Yeah, I would think so. So if anybody wants to, if you get that policy, obviously we'll know more in the next couple of weeks. But if anybody's, is interested in getting into life settlements or anything like that, they should go ahead and give you a call. So, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Now, I know that you have had... Oh, I'm sorry. Are there any other policies or anything that we need to know about before we get into other things?
No, I've got another one, a big one, that we bid really, really low. It was a $2 million one. We have bid that thing so low, and we're just hoping that we might accidentally get it. There was only one bidder ahead of us on this, and
really?
He had bid it low, so we bid it low. And we can't hardly wait to see if we get it. Of course, somebody may come in at the last minute and overbid us. We don't know. There doesn't seem to be a lot of people bidding it yet.
Let's hope it stays that way.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. What, the $2 million policy, you said?
Yeah, it's a $2 million one. And we bid $810,000.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be a huge amount of profit.
Yeah, I'm just doing some rough math in my brain. And I'm thinking, okay, million, extra. Yeah, that's going to be a big one. If you get it.
It is. If we accidentally get it, I think everybody will want it in about an hour.
Yeah.
Because yeah. The profit would be so great. It'd be a big, huge profit.
Boy, oh boy.
But I don't know if we can pull it off. You know, we never know who's going to come in and bid at the last minute.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's I don't know. How, I mean, okay, so just kind of like gauge this a little bit. So at this point in the bidding process for this particular policy, how many people would normally be bidding at this time would you be up against?
Four or five.
Okay, and there was only one ahead of you?
There was only one the other day when we bid it.
Wow.
So we came in low.
Wow.
And there's a couple more people might come in. If they do, they'll bid higher. But I don't know if they're coming. And then, you know, the big, big company we talk about all the time, they may come at the last minute and bid it.
Well, that's true. But hopefully they won't. Because, boy, it would be fantastic.
You know,
it
would be wonderful if one time... we had a great opportunity like that.
Yeah. I mean, those kinds of profit margins don't come around every day. You get some great policies, but this kind of profit margin is crazy good. So hopefully that'll work out. That's awesome.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. And we've got a bunch more I think will be coming. You know, we've had a tremendous amount of maturities in the last 2 months, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and we were talking about this, what, a week or two ago, and we were talking about how the timing seems to be different than usual in a good way, that policies are maturing right at the time where new policies that you've been bidding on and getting have come into the picture. So it's almost like perfect timing to get, you know, the payout and then reinvest. And that's really the whole point. So for things to line up like this is kind of cool. It's neat when it happens that way. It doesn't always.
Well, I'm always looking forward to maturities. I love them because that's the name of the game. And sometimes I'll think, well, we don't have any. And 2 days later, we'll have two.
Yeah.
This last month, we've had more than I remember having.
Yeah.
And they were all short term. We didn't have any that had been sitting on the desk for a while.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So it's like, you know, and especially, and then when, you know, policies could come in early, you know, you kind of have an idea in your brain, okay, this is a 30-month policy. It may come in right around this particular time-ish, give or take. And you're kind of, you know, maybe loosely mapping things out in your head. But then when they come in early, then it's just almost like, whoa, here's some unexpected money. Let's take this and let's reinvest it. So that's how life settlements are supposed to work. They're not designed for, you get into one policy and then you get the payout and then you go off into the sunset. It's something that's designed to grow your wealth over several years, The profit margins are larger than with, say, like an annuity. And so it helps get people a larger insertion of cash in one maturity. Is that, am I saying that the right way, or does that sound weird?
That sounds right to me, because every time we get a maturity, they put it in the bank, it builds up, you get more interest. And I think that's the way it should be, because that's what we're all looking for, is the interest on their money.
Yeah. It's about shorter payouts, shorter terms, quicker maturities, and like the ones you see on TV where the people are, you know, sitting in the backyard and they're reading the newspaper, and there's the guy underground and they're yelling, "Oh, I wish they knew about all the opportunities." It's like, no. Those aren't the ones that you're bidding on. You're the whole point of what you're doing is conservative investments, so that people don't lose, you know, their entire life savings. Because in the stock market, you know, you blink an eye and you could technically lose everything in minutes. And so these are designed not to do that, but yet still give people shorter returns, larger payouts, build up their portfolio quicker so that they're ready for retirement. Once they get towards retirement, most people move over towards to annuities, right?
That's right, because you get guaranteed income with annuities. Look at what happened to the stock market last week. Do you remember that fiasco?
Oh, yes.
It went down so far, it was ridiculous. Then gold has been going down. I hadn't been keeping up with it. And I saw the other day it was really down. So these things can happen to you if you're in the market. So the nice thing about an annuity, it doesn't ever go down. It stops. It has that stop gap. And you get guaranteed income for the rest of your life. You know, it's not going to be wishy-washy. It's not going to go up and down. And annuities have performed very, very well the last 50 years, you know. When annuities started out, they paid a fixed rate. Now, they don't pay a fixed rate. They perform better than the market, and they perform, you know, like it doesn't matter if it's the market's up one day and it's down the next. The annuity won't do that to you. It's never in the stock market direct. That's why it's safe. And you can get guaranteed income every year. And the bonuses are really kicking in, and that makes a big difference. The bonuses are 17% right now. And you've already made the first year's profit when you buy an annuity. And then it not only gives you the indexes, but then whatever it makes that year, you've got that. So you've got the profit of 17 and plus what it makes. So the bonus period right now is really a good thing. And it doesn't matter what you do the rest of your life, you can take money out every year. And the 4% rule sometimes doesn't even work. But you can take 10% out every year. You can add things to it, which we don't usually do. But you can add a nursing home waiver up there where that you could take money out scot-free and put it in a nursing home.
Really?
Yeah, you can do that. Now, there is a little fee on that. But there's several things like that. You could also, for a little fee again, if you had to take all of your money out of an annuity on the third year, you can do it.
Really?
So there's a lot of different things you can add to your annuity.
Goodness gracious.
And it depends how old you are. Yeah, it has all kinds of things you can add to it.
Wow. I had no idea. I don't know. Maybe I just forgot or didn't know. I don't know. That's cool.
And I don't usually even talk about it because it's great the way it is. You know, it's compound interest. You don't pay taxes till you take it out. And that tax deal is so great. You make more money because it's tax not free, but it's tax deferred for years to come. So if it's tax deferred, remember, if you're not paying taxes, you're gaining a lot of money. And then you're going to be at a lower tax bracket when you start because you're going to be older and you're not working then. So the tax bracket will be lower. So you're going to pay less in taxes.
Hmm. anytime we can avoid taxes.
So that's the good things about it.
Yeah.
You need to. We all want to avoid taxes every time we get the opportunity.
I've never talked to anybody who's ever said, you know, I really want to pay some more taxes. What can I do?
I don't think they're going to tell you that. They're going to say, let's don't take any money out of our IRA till we have to.
Yeah.
And then you pay taxes. And then you have that RMD you have to qualify for. But the great thing about annuity, it's growing all that time. Now, let's say it's a bad day and the stock market goes down. That lock kicks in and just sits there. It didn't lose anything, but it didn't make anything that day, but you're okay because you didn't lose any of your principal. You never lose principal with an annuity. That's what makes it better than the stock market, all these other things.
Oh, yeah. Stock market, you can lose your principal. You can lose everything, literally.
You can. And last week, it was really bad.
Yeah.
It went down a tremendous amount. And then I checked on gold, and it was down, way down for the year.
Jeez. Is it okay and fair to say that with an annuity, you can win, but you can't lose? Is that?
I think that's probably true, because if the stock market goes down, everybody else lost that day. They may lose for a month. It's going to change how much they have to retire on. And annuity isn't going to do that to you. You're still going to have the same amount of principal that you started with, plus whatever your profit is.
Plus your bonus.
Plus that dadgum bonus. Now, let's say you were lucky enough that you had three piles of money. If you did, you put in that first year, and you got your bonus, whatever it made. You have money from another source next year. You get that same percent, 17% bonus, plus your profit. The next year, the same thing, 3 years in a row. If you have money in different places that you want to put into your annuity. So that bonus can kick in for 3 years in a row, which is really fantastic.
Wow, that is cool. I can't think of anything else that not only kind of safeguards you so that you don't lose everything, but I can't think of anything else also that doesn't have a bonus that gives you extra money for free. It's not contingent on anything. It's not, well, you get 17% if. It's just flat out 17%, and there you go. And you can do that for what, 3 years? For the first 3 years?
Yes, the first 3 years. Put money in every year, and you get a bonus for 3 years. Now, let's say it's at the end of the annuity. Some annuity companies require that you take a payout, that you don't take a lump sum out when you need it. You can take a lump sum out with our company at the end of the deal.
Wow.
Or nice. Let's say it is nice. Let's say it's a husband and wife. The husband dies. She still got her annuity. She didn't lose a dime or slow down any. And then you've got another beneficiary on top of that. So the annuity keeps going that way. It doesn't end.
It almost sounds like, and I'm trying to wrap this up in my brain and classify it in a nice, neat, orderly way. It almost sounds like the annuity can serve a couple of different purposes. One, your own self for your own retirement. Two, your spouse in case something happens. And three, your children in case something happens to you and your spouse. Is that correct?
That's right. If something happens to both of you, you've still got that annuity. It doesn't end there. A lot of people might think if you die that the annuity ends right there. That's just the first part of it. It keeps going. And then a lot of people, they take out an annuity for the grandchildren. And then when they get ready to go to college, it's there. You can take money out monthly or a lump sum every year for your college education. So annuities work for a lot of different people.
Wow.
And I've talked about my client in Waco a lot. She worked for the newspaper. She got ready to retire, and she called me. I went to see her, and she said, you know, I need something that will pay me the rest of my life. And I did two annuities for her. And the second one, as far as I know, she's never touched it. Yeah. And she's drawn money every year. She's not a spendthrift. She doesn't spend a lot of money. Her house was paid for when she retired. So the only thing she owes every year is taxes. So she's got a deferred annuity that she has deferred that thing all these years. The other one, she's taking money out every year.
Wow.
And she was a widow lady when I met her, and she was ready to retire. And some people had come to her trying to put her in all this stuff. And by golly, she got rid of them and sued them.
Oh.
It was all overtime she met me. She told me the whole story. And she said they told her all these things she was in was going to pay her all this money. And they flat had her in the stock market.
Oh.
And she was losing money because they put her in the wrong things. And they told her otherwise, and she proved that they hadn't. She got all of her money back.
Wow.
So she was a happy camper when I met her.
Yeah, no doubt. Golly. They get swindled so easily by things that look, you know, fancy and shiny and promise all these huge, you know, returns, and in the end you can lose everything in a lot of these things: stock market, real estate, gold, crypto, you know. But the thing with annuities and life settlements is that it's all about a conservative investment that protects your principal and grows your money as safely as possible, and nothing in the outside world affects it. We know that, you know, war, anything can affect like the stock market. It could pancake like we saw the other day. Things could, you know, create some panic. But with life settlements and annuities, people don't have to worry about either of those.
That's right. There's no get rich scheme. It's just steady money. That's what I love about it. There's nobody going to tell you something fancy about it. They're going to just tell you the facts.
Yeah,
that it's tax deferred, that it works, that you get paid at the end of every year, and you get a statement showing what it's made. You can check it at any time. That's what I like. And they put that money right in your account, add it to it every year. So at the end of the road, if you haven't been taking anything, you've got a, as I always say, kind of a pile of money there.
Yeah.
And if, let's say you're married and you pass on, your wife doesn't have to worry about anything. She's already got her money fixed. She knows when she's going to get paid. It's a simple deal, and it's, you know, it's not anything fancy.
Yeah. It's almost like annuities. They're one of those quiet investments, but you know, it's like you can go about living your life. You don't have to, you know, monitor it. You don't have to do anything to it or babysit it or water it. You don't have to, you know, get up in the middle of the night, wonder if you have anything left. It's just quietly growing in the background as it should. And so, I don't know. I know there's been some recent new excitement about annuities, but I'm kind of people who aren't in annuities kind of it always kind of surprises me a little bit, just because they are so good, they are so conservative, and there's so much money to be made with little to no effort. So I think they're fantastic. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
I love my trivia today. I have to be honest. It's a story about a lady named Margaret Hoover.
Ooh.
She was born over here in Sulphur Springs. She went to school in Salado, graduated from there. She got a degree at A&M Commerce, and it was a social worker. She was just going to be this simple social worker, had a husband, but then they raised three kids. She was just a simple housewife, so to speak. And by golly, her mother got a Kindle for Christmas. So she decided to write a book and publish it herself and just give it to her mother to read, just kind of a joke, you know. It was a fabulous book. She wrote another one. And again, she self-published them, both of them, because she knew nobody was going to want them but her family. And Atria, I don't know if I'm saying that right, or Atria, let's say, maybe it's Atria. Atria's books picked up the book because it had made the New York Times, made everything. And a blogger had read it and put it out on the internet. God, what a fabulous book this was. And her first book was called Slam. The second was Point of Retreat. They reached 8 and 18 on the New York Times bestseller list. I mean, you know, for a lady that just did it for her mother to have something to read on her Kindle. She has sold 20 million books at this point.
Oh, my word. Really?
20 million.
Wow.
And, you know, as I said, she published the first two books herself because she knew nobody wasn't going to read them except her family. And that was in November of 2011. And she had no intention of doing anything with it. But part of it, her head was full of all these lyrics from the Averett Brothers and Doubt and Road Full of Promise. And then she incorporated this musical part in her books. And everybody read it, and they wanted it, and so she started writing. And after she'd written about four books, she quit her job and became a novelist.
Yeah, I would say so.
And the third book in the series was called This Girl, and it was published in 2013. And then she published Hopeless, and it was published in December of 13. It was a story about a girl who was homeschooled through elementary, and she goes to high school. And that book reached number one on the New York Times bestseller list.
She's all of a sudden found a brand new unexpected career.
a career she didn't even know she could do. And that book was on the New York Times for 3 weeks.
Wow.
And then she wrote Losing Hope. That was in July of 24. Then Finding Cinderella is a free book that Hoover published in 14. And it features several of the characters that she had in her book, Hopeless and Losing Hope. Then a paperback was released with several bonus features. It had a new epilogue. It was a Cinderella story. And then she published Maybe Someday in March of 14. And it was a series about a boy and a girl who wrote music together, and then they fell in love. Ooh. And then Griffin Peterson created a soundtrack to accompany it. Then the ebooks led to a website where readers could listen to the music on it.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. Then she wrote Never Never, a collaboration with Taryn Fisher. And it was sold as three separate books. And the works were later republished as one complete book. And this one featured teenagers Silas and Charlie. They woke up with the loss of their memory. The book follows these characters as they work to recover their memory, figuring out pieces of themselves as they go. And there was lies and secrets as they got closer to finding out the truth. Never Never tells a story evolving back to what it once was. In creating the novel, they alternated her and this other lady writing chapters and making edits. But Hoover said that that experience was one of the most entertaining writing experiences she'd ever had.
Really?
And then the one that put her over the top, it's called It Ends With Us. It was the hardest book, she said, I've ever written. It was about domestic violence.
Ooh.
And it was written with the intention of advocating for domestic violence victims. The story was inspired by her own experience as a child. There was a lot of domestic violence at her house. And it carried through into her adult life. And the main character was called Lily, saw domestic violence as a young girl and witnessed her father's abuse of her mother. It was firsthand and it ends up in a violent relationship. And that one novel was her most famous. It sold 1 million copies.
Wow.
And it's been translated into 20 languages.
Oh, really?
20 languages.
Wow.
And then they made a movie of it and starred Blake Lively.
Really?
Yes. And then it grossed over $350 million worldwide.
Oh, my word. Jeez. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they made it into a movie. Now, this is a girl that was just a social worker.
Yeah.
Didn't even know she could write a book.
Now she's on the bestseller list, making millions of dollars, having movies made out of her books. Wow. I tell you, to be able to go through something like she went through and to have the courage to actually write about it.
Do something about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do, to open a vein like that and to be that vulnerable. But wow.
And that's right. And put it out there for the public. And she was named one of the 100 most influential people in the world by Time Magazine.
Wow. That's fantastic.
She has come so far. I loved the story of her life. I think it's just fabulous. And I love that she produced the first two books.
Yeah.
Just for her mother's candles to be able to read it. I mean, that's pretty fancy.
That is pretty fancy. You know, just to do something, you know, for fun as a hobby, just, you know, just for a relative like that and expecting nobody to ever look at it or read it. And then to go seemingly on the fast track to having all these amazing, wonderful things, you know, evolve out of it is something really cool. And to be able to help people on a wide scale like that, that is awesome. That's really cool.
And that's, of course, her most famous. But this is pretty funny. To say she's currently the best-selling novel in the United States. That's what the New York Times wrote. Said she's the best in the United States.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, and to have accolades from like the New York Times, I mean, that's a big deal too. It's not just,
it is a big deal.
It's a big deal to be on a list, but you know, for the New York Times, wow. And that's the best of the best.
And you can look at her books online. It goes on and on and on. Well, she sold 20 million. And can you imagine being a social worker and starting to write? I mean, I'm so impressed by her.
Yeah, clearly.
And growing up in Toledo, Texas.
Yeah. Again, another Texas native doing some big, huge, fabulous, wonderful things to change the world. It's another great
That's
story.
That's right. And I think she's helped a lot of people, all the books she's written. I think they've all got a fantastic storyline, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
and I love the ones about the boys and girls that wrote music, fell in love, all these different ones. The characters are so good.
Yeah. Yeah. The characters are great. The story is great. And clearly somebody to be able to do that has a lot of natural talent that they don't, I'm sure she worked at it. I don't want to say she didn't work at it, but it's not like she went to school to learn how to write books. I don't even know if there is such a thing, but you know, it's like she just to do this, just, you know, for something fun to do and then get that kind of attention. It says a lot for her natural talent, which is cool.
Yeah. And Atrilia Books, you know, they heard about it and they rushed in to buy her books.
Yeah.
The first two. And she didn't think anybody'd ever publish those. That was just for her mother.
Yeah. It was essentially just a private thing. And then, how did they find out?
Well, a blogger wrote this story about her and it went wild. This blogger wrote all this information about her, told about the books, how wonderful they were, that it should be published. This blogger wrote everything. And the New York Times saw it.
Wow.
And they got involved immediately.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, if this blogger hadn't told her all about her, it would have never got off the ground.
Yeah, I mean, geez, for the things that had to line up and had to happen to expose her like this and make her what she is now. There's a lot of I don't know if it's the universe that stepped in or if it was fate or what, but you know, something that she never had even on her radar ended up being a life-changing thing, not only for her but for so many other people as well, which is cool.
Well, and the blogger wrote all about her and gave her 5 stars and the sales just went through the roof, and they reached 8 and 9 on the New York Times bestseller list by August of that year. So it was during 1 year is what happened.
Wow.
Because in January, she wrote the books. And then in February, slammed and was given 5 stars by the blogger. At the end of the year, in August, is when the book company saw all this and offered her a full-time deal as a writer.
Wow. I mean, that's fast. It's really fast. And they say all the time, oh, it only takes one person. In this case, it literally took one person, the blogger, to somehow get a hold of her stuff, read it, publish about it, and write a blog, and it gets other people's attention. It just took one person and it skyrocketed from there. That is really cool and rare.
Let me tell you something. It was the first ever self-published novel to ever top the list.
That's awesome.
And she just kept writing. She wrote 3 or 4 books in that 1 year.
Yeah.
And Finding Cinderella was published in 14. And it featured the characters that was in Hopeless and Losing Hope.
Mm-hmm.
She went back to them and put them in this new book.
Wow.
It's you know, amazing how quick she wrote these books.
Yeah.
And I don't think she even thought it was going to be that great.
No, clearly not. she was just putting this together. You know, thinking, nobody's going to see this. Nobody's going to read it. And if they do, it's not going to be a big deal. Clearly, it's a big deal.
She didn't send it to any publishers. Just wrote it, published it herself. How many people would do that? Just publish this paperback yourself.
Yeah. I mean, unlikely.
it's unlikely to be successful. A lot of people have wrote self-published books, but it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow. Margaret Hoover. That's a definitely a
Colleen name Hoover. Get it straight now. Colleen Hoover.
Oh, sorry. I got the wrong name.
Colleen Hoover.
Colleen Hoover.
Born December 11th, 1979.
Wow. That is really cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So for the rest of us who don't change the world overnight.
That's right.
We invest conservatively, grow our money as quick as we possibly can, and then hopefully ride off into the sunset and live a wonderful, peaceful, calm life. For life settlements, there are two risks that you like people to know about. What's the first one?
The first one is if it goes over the allotted time, like 19 months or whatever, then you would have to pay premiums. So you need to know what the premiums are up front, and we try to do them less than 2%, like 0.5%, 0.25%. Or something like that. So you need to know about that. The other thing is, it's not liquid until it matures. Remember that. Your money goes into the policy. In other words, you and several other people are buying this policy, and everybody says, where does the money go? It doesn't go in my pocket. It goes in the pocket of the person that owns the policy.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And what's
and you must be accredited to do this. And to be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million without your home.
Okay.
The home cannot be counted in this.
Rental property could, businesses could, but just not your main residence.
Not your main residence. You've got to be $1 million without your house or $200,000 a year.
Okay. What about annuities? Is there any kind of qualification or?
It's not as hard. You do not have to be accredited. And the other thing is you have to have like monthly income enough to cover that. You need savings or stocks, bonds. You must have something. You can't come in and say, I make $25,000. That's all I've got. You know, I'm delaying bills. If you're doing that, it will not work.
Okay. All right. So you just have to have a little bit to start with, but not quite as much
that's
as
right. And most people start with $100,000, as you know.
Okay. Okay. So for people who are interested, maybe they want to learn more. Maybe they are ready to go. Maybe who knows? There's a lot of scenarios that could be in place. People getting ready to retire in a couple of months. They do need to call you to get things going or get information. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.